And we're live. Hi, everybody. Bradley Charbonneau here, We Possible Podcast and YouTube channel. And today, so I hinted at this a couple weeks ago when I had Josh on the show. And today I have Kay Howe Leitz, who is going to tell us the other side of the story. Not that it has to be different, but the other side of the story of their, I don't even know what to call it, wild adventure, you know, through the planet. And so anyway, welcome, Kay Howe.
Thank you so much, Bradley.
So could you, if people haven't listened to Josh's episode, and I'm sure they will after we hear yours. So I wanted to interview you both separately because to give a little background, and I want you to tell this story as well from your perspective, but just from my external perspective, like you and your husband, Josh, and your four kids took off from the U.S. a few years ago. And in a couple of different, I think you did a one round and you went back to the States, and now you're on like the second round. And the other day, as I saw you guys in real life the other day, and then you said, yeah, we're going to Albania and we're going to be there like, I don't know, 10 months or something. Right. Okay. And so there's just so much in that sentence that you just don't hear every day. First of all, how many people could point on a map where Albania is? And then who does something for 10 months? I mean, unless it's, I don't know, a job or a project, but we're going to Albania for 10 months. Okay. I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm going to let you give a little backstory in your perspective on like, how are you in Albania for 10 months with your four kids and your husband? And you have, I have to admit, you have blue sky and clouds. I'm really envious in my rainy Netherlands. And which is why she has her sunglasses on. That's why she was talking about sunglasses. So, cause she actually has sun to reflect.
We have sun. It's so beautiful. Nice. There was a cruise ship that joined in the other day. So we got to watch them all be carried to the port and enjoy this beautiful weather here in Albania.
You're on the coast, right?
Yes, we are on the coast. It's a city called Saranda, and we are about 1 hour north of the Greece boundary, the northern boundary of Greece. So it's it's very the mildest temperate. I mean, it's one of the reasons people come to Albania year round because the temperature is pretty mild. So there's rain, of course, in the winter season, but it's a beautiful space. So, So to answer your question,
So you're not on holiday, just to be clear for people. You're not on holiday. It's not a vacation.
No. Nope. We have our four children with us. I am homeschooling them. I started homeschooling them on our first round out traveling. We haven't really labeled what we're doing. It's kind of a new thing. And once you start something new, you find out that other people have been doing it for quite a bit. The term, I learned this term called slow traveling.
Okay.
And so that's kind of what we're doing. We're slowly traveling the world. Right now we're in Europe. Our first trip out, we visited 18 countries in 18 months. And some people would say that's not slow traveling. So we're traveling as a family and experiencing the world. I don't know if there's a specific term for exactly what we're doing, but we ended up on the other side of the ocean. And why are we here in Albania? It's kind of funny. Not a lot of people make decisions to go to a country and have no plans for when you arrive.
Wow. You're right. Yeah. Not a lot of people.
We've had a lot of questions. What are you doing there? Where in experiencing, we kind of go out for the day and see what the day brings us. And we have some structure. We have school time. We also have social time, but it's not as structured as when we were in the U.S. You know, 7 o'clock this, 10 o'clock this, every hour.
Because in the U.S., your kids were in school.
Yes, we did. They did. Okay. They were in elementary school, and all of the activities that everyone signs up to do Yeah.
Because how old are your kids?
The oldest is 10 now, and so we have a 10, 9, 7, and she just turned 6. When we first started traveling, the youngest was 3 and the oldest was 7. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that because I mean, as we kind of talked about before we hit record, I'm a writer, and I people always say like, "Oh, I want to write a book," and in the beginning, I was like, "Oh, I can help you. That'd be yeah, write a book." And then I'd be disappointed when they didn't actually do it, right? And so, and here you're saying, Albania, 10 months, second time around, you've been like sort of traveling the planet. I mean, I'm sure it's a dream for many people. And then,
Yes.
but people would say, "Oh, but you know what? I have young kids, so yes, can't do it. Sorry." And you're like, "No, hold on, hold on. We've got 4 from 6 to 10. Yeah.
Yes.
So there you
It's
go.
possible.
Check, check.
Yeah. It's
One
possible, but
excuse off the list.
it's not without any struggle. We've had struggles with traveling and everyone's tired. And I would say the thing that we hear the most about, it's not really negative, it's just a comment that people make, which is, I could never do what you're doing. And it's a hard thing to make a decision like this, to basically strip yourself from your community and everyday regularities, life in general. I'd also say that between Josh and I, we both have this spirit of wanting to meet new people, and we've instilled that in our children from the very beginning. So if you look at the foundation of what's there, yes, we were with our church community, the school community. I created a neighborhood kids club. We were in so much dance community, taekwondo, so many things. We were all around, but if you look at the foundation of what that is, it means that we have a love for connection and people and learning about all the different things. So we took that and we said, let's go learn about places we've never even heard of before. And that's how we ended up in Albania.
Okay. You just took a massive leap, like across the Grand Canyon, right? Because
Yes.
you just said, we'd like to do this thing. Oh,
Right.
wouldn't it be wonderful to do this thing, right? And this thing is not, let's go to Taco Bell. This
No.
thing is, right? It's not this little tiny decision. It is massive. And so how in the world did you get from here's this dream we have that we'd like to do, and here is actually doing it? Because that's, I think if people are watching or listening, they're like, okay, wait. I heard the, dream. I want to connect. Yeah, I like to connect too. And I like meeting, yeah, I want to meet new places, meet new people. But yeah, how in the world did you go from your regular life? I don't know if your life was regular, your so-called regular life back in the US, and going to school and going to community and the neighborhood and all the normal stuff, to wow, we're like in Albania for an unclear amount of time on the coast with blue sky and sun. And how did it get to that? Like, there's a Simon Sinek wrote a book on what it, your why, right? What is your why? Like, what was driving you to because you because I mean, here, I'll just play devil's advocate, right? Well,
Yeah,
all
let's
this
hear
stuff, you can meet new people in Arizona. You could even
Absolutely.
go to Colorado, or you can go to the neighboring states and meet new people. You can meet new people every day. There's millions of people in Arizona. You can meet all of them. But why did you need to go abroad, or what was that like pull to go to another country? Where's that come from?
Yeah, that's a big question. And with every decision that you try to make, and for in this instance, we tried to do a lot of research. Were there people out there going and
Doing
doing the
this.
same thing that we were
Yeah.
doing? We did find that there were, and the same question that you're asking was happening on all of these boards. How did you do it? Where did you start? What did you do? How much money did you save? It's all of those little decisions that you make. You think it makes it easier to make a decision, right? And you feel good about yourself. We, our biggest wish when we first started seeing each other, for Josh and I, our biggest wish was to travel and see the world. And that was the driving start of it. But we had to basically, beyond the research of did somebody do this? How much do we have to save? What are we going to do with our house? You know, are there people we're going to connect with if we even do that? We had to basically kind of hold each other's hand and go, let's just take that first step. And so how did we get there? We had to trust each other that if it sounded crazy, one of us would say, you're crazy. But maybe we're both crazy.
That's kind
Maybe
of
we're both
funny,
crazy.
right? We're both
Yeah,
crazy,
but
but we agree with each other.
you have to look at you have like when I see my kids start something new, for instance, they just started jiu-jitsu in here in Albania, and it's in Shqip. Shqip is the Albanian language. They call it Shqip here for short. It's in Albanian. It's in Albania. The teacher speaks in Albanian. The children are from here in Albania, and so they're nervous. They don't. We practice a little bit. We know how to say hello, goodbye, thank you. It's very basic. We taught them how to say, what is your name? But to get them to actually, you know, to watch your kids do something new, you're like, go do it, go do it. It's easy, it's fun, it's great. And they're like, what am I doing? This feels hard. But you look at them and you go, it takes courage, right? And also, it might look like you're scared to do something, and the nervousness of all of it is courage. It's courage because you're not running away. Like they didn't look at a kid and like run away from them. They just kind of stood there and was like shaking a little bit. And that's kind of what Josh and I did. We were shaking a little bit when we, it's not that we just decided to get on a plane and instantly we were like, we're amazing. We did it. We were still battling with like, are we courageous enough to do that? And then we just had to keep telling ourselves, like, even though this looks a little bit scary and we don't know what's happening, we have courage to move like one step closer and one step closer. I mean, there was a we didn't have a turning point. We only bought a one-way ticket, so I think that helped in the decision too. But you have to know that in any decision that you make, there's an unlimited amount of possibilities where it could turn, but you always have a choice to come back or make a different change. If it didn't work out, you could still kind of turn around.
Just turn around and go
You
home.
kind of have to let go of what do I want it to look like?
Okay, so like expectations, you have to
Yes, you can't.
let
It's.
go of what you think it should look like. Is this a little
Yes.
bit, before we hit record, you were saying, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but you said there was a
Yeah,
little
let's talk about
expat
it.
drama
There was.
in the little expat meetup there in your town.
Yes.
So
Yes.
are you okay to talk about that? Because I think that's really
Yeah,
interesting.
I talk about it. And it's fun to meet people who, which I didn't really realize how many people here in Albania are from America. So I know we even met someone from Scottsdale in a market here. I know. He had a Flagstaff t-shirt on. So we're like, that's from Arizona. But yes, there was a little bit of drama this morning, and it basically the understanding of it was that they wanted to be treated how they think they should be treated. It was like in a restaurant, so they wanted to be treated with like the waiter didn't smile enough, or we've been waiting too long to be seen. And the expectation that you have of stepping into a place, and it just kind of like it didn't fit what we have learned European restaurants to be, from being here for a year and a half, doing things here for quite a bit. It didn't fit the vibe or the it also didn't fit the vibe of being kind and loving and gentle and all of those things. So it was just kind of an odd thing to witness from American to American. But yeah, she had really high expectations. It was interesting to see in a
So
place where you just want to like enjoy yourself,
that's so I have to hand it to the person, because I would think that if you think that and you want your expectations, you want the waiter smiling and saying, "Hi, my name's Robert. I'll be your server today and your best friend. And I love you all. Y'all look great. All those glasses, are they new?" Right? So And so that's what you come to expect, because that's what life is like in America. But then, the most of the people just don't leave America, and that's fine. And then they have their happy-go-lucky server, right? Awesome, great. But then when you leave the thing that you know, and you expect, or you almost like forecast the expectations of what you think it should be, because maybe that's all you know. Maybe all you know is American servers and the smile and all that stuff at the restaurant, and that's fine. So, but the main question is, okay, server didn't smile enough, and we waited too long for our meal. Okay, so then I think the big question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to complain and say, "Hey, it's not like that in America," right? Is that the answer? Or you say like, "Gee, that's what it's like here. Okay, it's different. I'm not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy." Right? And so and
When
then do
you
I
view
adapt
it,
or?
when you view it from like we were just on the outside watching this whole thing unravel. And when you look at that situation, you go, I think there was more than one up, one way that that could have gone. There was more opportunity there to kind of change. First of all, we tried to say we were going inside and like helping the waitress for our table. We like went quickly inside to like help her because she is the most smiliest Albanian that you will ever meet.
But
And
compared to your average
compared to,
American waitress, not enough.
not enough. It was funny. But it does in every decision that you make when you have to decide what's going on. There's a ton of different ways to go. Our 10-year-old would be going into middle school right now, and there's a lot of different options. It's the big question over the summer. Where are they going? Because they can choose a lot of different places to go. And I said, because we don't have to make that decision, we're homeschooling. And I said to my friends, I said, well, if you make the decision for one place and it doesn't work out, you could just change your mind and go to the other place, maybe, right? And she was like, I didn't think about that way. Like, you don't have to be set in one. The decision you make might not be the decision that you end up with in the end. I don't know if Josh told you this. When we first decided to make the jump over the ocean, we decided to go, we thought we were going to end up in a different city and a different country than where we ended up, and we have still not yet made it to that first city we thought we were going to live in. That's really funny. I never thought about that till now.
But it is so adventurous the way you're doing this, like exactly what you just said. No, they in the very beginning of my writing days, there's travel writing, right? There's books about travel, right? And there's a joke, like in the travel writing world, that there is no book that says, we went to the hotel, everything was fine, dinner was good, and all the trains were on time, and we had a nice time. right? That's no travel book ever said, right?
That's
It's all,
perfect.
yeah, it's exactly because it's perfect and nothing went wrong. So there's sort of nothing to talk about. And so, like you said, you've never even been to the original place where you're supposed to go. So you could say, oh, well, that's a, you know, quote unquote failure or whatever,
We
depending on
failed.
your perspective. We failed.
Right? We failed.
But it's exactly your perspective. How do you see your actions, and then how do you react to your actions? That's the
Yes.
seems like the big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. When you think you're going to move, we thought we had this big grandiose, oh, we'll live there for a year, we'll figure out the visa thing, and everything was kind of set in our thinking.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, our decisions, it's like a bunch of decisions that went into the
Yeah.
decision
Yeah. Yeah.
of this big final decision.
Yeah.
And
Wow.
it wasn't just one question that we had to answer,
Right.
right?
Right. Many, many. Well, there was
Yes.
one, like, I kind of see it. There is one biggie. And that's sort of,
There's one,
are
yeah.
we really doing this?
Right.
And
Yes, we
then
had to
there's
hold our
a
hand, hold each other's hands. You know, I don't know if Josh told you this. This is maybe a secret, but and I have to go
not
back and
anymore.
listen. I have to go back and listen to his interview. But did he tell you that when he was on the plane, he was really second guessing whether or not this was the decision we should have made? And so, thank goodness both of us didn't have that decision at that feeling at the same time. But if we did, it was probably going to be the right feeling. So he had to support me, I had to support him, and so far it's been working out. But he doubted it on
Yeah.
the
Wow.
plane.
Doors are closed. No
Yeah, we
turning
were in
back
the
now.
air. He's like, wow, we really
Wow.
did that. I was like, yeah. We did. We decided we were doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if this is something that people think about, but the community that we have, that it was pretty split. Half of them supported us and said, wow, what a great idea.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn so much. The kids are going to learn so much. What a great gift you're giving them. And which is kind of like, oh, a big boost. Like, yeah, we are making the right decision. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then the
Yeah.
other half are like, what are you doing really? What are you going to do? Do you have, and then all of the insecurities that you have inside yourself that you really don't talk about very
Yeah.
much.
Yeah.
That other half of the community is like, I could never do that. Like, but you'll be back in a year, right? Like, this isn't forever. You'll just decide
Right.
to come
Right.
back. And
Yeah.
it's kind of hard when you have that in your community. Half is like supporting you, and the other half is like thinking this isn't a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I can imagine that's hard. And also depending on, especially like who is in the no camp, like if they're really close or important, you know, like immediate family or really good friends, and if they're like really sit you down and like, hey, Kehoe, like I honestly think this is not a good idea, right? Then that's
Yeah.
tough. That's hard.
Yeah, it is. It was a mix. It was a mix of
Yeah,
close
yeah.
and not so close.
You know,
Yeah.
so there's this guy I sort of this spiritual guru guy, Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you ever heard of
Okay.
Wayne Dyer.
No, I
Okay.
haven't.
And he, I like him because he's super spiritual guy, but he's pretty funny too. Just like he doesn't, not like stand up, laugh on the floor or funny, but just kind of he makes these little funny comments. And he said he had a, okay, I'm dating the guy because he had an answering machine with like the recording, right?
Yeah.
And on the recording it said something like, hey, you've reached a Wayne Dyer. I'm making some changes in my life for the better. If I don't return your call, you are one of the changes.
Wow.
I know, brutal, right? But I thought it was so good. And he kind of, he kind of like winks and like, oh, funny, funny. But it's kind of interesting, right? Because all those people, all the naysayers, like, oh, hey, you know, okay, how you should really, okay. So I live in the Netherlands, and there's a phrase. It's doe normaal, je doet al gek genoeg, and it means be normal. You're being crazy enough as it is, right? And so it's very much like fall in line, do follow the rules, do what you're supposed to do, don't do crazy stuff, right? And of course I love this because I mean I love doing crazy stuff. That's the fun part. And so because if you had listened to the naysayers or the doubters, it's like and they get you down enough where you're losing like your confidence in your decision. You say, maybe we shouldn't do this thing. There are let's look at all these possible negative scenarios that all these things that could go wrong. Right? Maybe we should rethink it. Maybe we should delay it. Right? Maybe we should
That
wait
we did have that.
till the kids graduate from college, right? But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, we did. We had all of those. I had three job opportunities
Oh,
coming
wow.
my way also.
Yeah.
And I'm just remembering that I had three separate musical, I'm a music teacher, and I had three opportunities. I usually only have one opportunity because I teach, I have four kids, so I don't have a lot of extra time.
I have, let me just, for the record, Your
For the
Honor, I have
record, I
four
don't have a
kids.
lot of extra time, so to have three separate opportunities
Wow.
looking for a music teacher, it was kind of it wasn't a normal for me. And so
Yeah.
that at the same time is like, oh my gosh, where should I be? And
Yeah. Yeah.
there's a group of women that from my church, I was in a leadership conference with them, and I brought this topic up. We're possibly moving, maybe we're going overseas. I don't
Yeah.
know what to do. I'm gonna have to homeschool my children. Everything was a lot of change. It was gonna be a lot of change.
Yeah.
And I said, what do I do? Kind of opening up to this
Yeah.
older
Yeah.
generation that has had guided me through all four of my kids being babies,
Yeah.
And they
So a
said,
trustworthy, respectable group that you
very,
respect their opinion
very,
and
very
yeah.
much. And they said, and it's such a funny answer because no one else mentioned this kind of thought, but they said maybe you're right where you need to be. And I was like, what does that mean? That means that wherever my family is, that so I took it into my own. I thought about it and I said, oh my gosh, they're right. Wherever my family is where I'm meant to be, and wherever we all are, it doesn't change if we're in Spain or the US or on a transatlantic cruise, traveling on trains in midnight, wherever we are, that's where I'm meant to be. And from that moment, from those lovely little ladies, I was like, wow, okay, I can do this. Yeah.
Wow, I've got the chills. Wow,
I know. I was
isn't
like,
that
wait,
awesome?
what
Like
does that mean? But
that's an unexpected source, sort of. Like I
yeah.
would think the lovely little ladies, and they're gonna say, "Now, honey, you know, you should just do the right thing and be in school, and you know, maybe when you retire or whatever, right? I don't know, some
Yeah,
safe
take care of
plan."
your kids and support your husband and make sure that you're creating a home, right? In my home, and we were leading a home Bible study. Like, we were very connected in
Yeah,
where we were. We
yeah.
were leading quite a bit of stuff,
Wow,
and
wow.
they didn't tell me to stay. They just said, which I just think is just the best advice that I got from the whole thing. You're right where you need to be. Wherever you're needed is where it's like amazing. It doesn't have to be literally in my home, right? My home is where I make it. So that in itself gave me confidence just for my side of the decision, you know.
Wow, that is just gorgeous and powerful and
And
amazing.
I should tell them how I never really told them how much that influenced my decision. So I should have them listen to this interview. Yeah.
That's super cool. That's really something. It's also cool. That's also why I like having these conversations, because it gives us a minute to slow down and think, like, wait a minute, that big decision, how did that come about? And what about the naysayers who I thought then were the naysayers, but wait a minute, maybe they actually weren't, or oh.
Well, because in the moment we were battling so many different things at the same time. We had to get a 2,500 square foot home ready to,
To rent out.
that was like one of the major things that we had to prepare for a life to be away from our life. And when we meet people who make this same decision, it's a lot of similar feelings.
It's interesting how there's a trigger that's maybe unexpected that can be that one little bit that breaks the dam open. For me, it was my dad passing away. Like, he passed away now, 25. Yeah, oh, 10 years ago. Yeah. Wow. My God. 10 years ago. And for me, it was such a huge moment. It was terrible. I was so sad and mad and the whole thing. And that was the moment I decided for me that I want my kids to grow up the second half of their youth in Europe. And then, because you and I, we haven't talked about right now. And honestly, I don't really even care if we talk about it, but all of the boring stuff, like visas and costs and money and all the boring administrative stuff, because I didn't care about any of that stuff. I just thought, my dad passed away. Like, my thinking was, my dad passed away. And here's my total, like, naive, innocent thinking. I thought, wait a minute, we were gonna die? What? It was super, like, babyish, right? It was like childish. Like, I think, like, no, I'm immortal. What are you talking about? And
Right.
so I thought,
It
when
wasn't
is
on the
that?
table of thinking for you
No,
in that
it
moment.
wasn't. Well, no, it was. I have this joke calendar. Like, I made a graphic of it, and it says there's a calendar thing. And then there's a, and the 14th and the 15th and the 16th. And then there's a day that's called someday. And my joke, of course, is that someday doesn't exist. It's not really on the calendar. And so someday is as good as never. And that was currently that was then the plan when I was going to move to Europe, was someday. And with my dad passing away, like, no, it's next year, 2016. That's when we're going. And we did. And we did everything. We got the kids out of school. We sold everything. We same thing as you, we rented out the house. We thought we were going to be back in a year. It's been 9 years now. But that
That's
one
amazing.
decision, just like those women for you who said, you're right where you should be, or right where you need to be. And that I heard you. You said it. You says, I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I
so
had full
important.
confidence. Yeah, I had full confidence in myself from that moment, and that was pretty late. We moved in July, and I think that was in the last conference, May or June or something. So it took a while to get there.
Wow. So what is something, now that you've been, how long have you guys been gone this time, this round? Like, since last summer, I think, or?
This round we started in July.
Okay.
We
Oh,
went
so
home for
like,
about 6 months. Yeah. So
okay.
July 2023 we started,
Okay.
and we were away for a year and a half. We went home for about 6 months. And then we came back out again. So this time around, it's from July, a couple months ago. August, September, 3 months.
So what is something, what's an unexpected benefit that you are experiencing or living with that or like thankful for that you didn't even imagine or you didn't expect?
I didn't expect that while traveling this way, we would make lifelong friends. I thought it would be, oh, there are Albanian friends, or there are our Belgian friends, or but the connections that we've made, we made a connection in Bulgaria, and then we ended up taking a transatlantic cruise with them 6 months later. And then we met a family from our home city on the cruise, and they have four kids as well. And now they're coming out to visit us here in
No
Albania
way.
in like next week they'll be here. So it's what we thought would be, oh, it's a short time. We'll go, we'll experience, and we'll take everything we can get from learning from the world, and then we'll go back home, and it'll just be, the same life as it is. But the gift that we've received that we didn't really think about was like the lifelong partnership with the people that we've met. These nomads, you think nomads, they just travel, they roam around, and they don't make lasting connections. But we've made lasting connections here from people all over the world, and we're still in contact and make plans. Their yeses are more yes than any yeses we get back home.
That is such an, speaking of unexpected, that is such an unexpected answer. I was not expecting. That's super amazing. I mean, really, if you think about it rationally, you'd think, well, what do you mean? How can you make lifelong friends? You need to live next door to them back in your town for 14 years, and then
You need to
that's,
call each other every, you need to see them every day. You need to be in an activity with them all the time, and it needs to be consistent, right? But it's not consistent. It's a deeper, I don't know how to explain it. It's just like a deeper relationship, but over a shorter amount of time. We kind of connect on I guess how hard it is to travel this way, because there are hard things about
You are
traveling
not
this way.
pretending to say it's all paradise.
Right. And so we immediately connect in that, and then it's going to keep giving back to us. I don't know if we'll ever stop traveling.
Okay, so you're just north of Greece, and you're
Yes.
reminding me of there's two Greek words I love, and they are Kairos and Chronos. So Kairos, it's spelled sometimes spelled differently, but like Kairos, it's Kairos, and Chronos, Chronos,
O N O S.
right? So Chronos is the more normal time, and that's like, and they're measurements of time, and Chronos is more the regular, like a clock or a calendar. It's regular, like if a graph of it is like the line, it's
Linear,
linear, exactly. Whereas Kairos is, I call it like bending time. And it's more like a dream you have when you're asleep, but you dream, and I've studied dreams a little bit, and there can be like when you're dreaming, the actual dream time in Chronos is, it could be, whatever, 3 minutes. But in your Kairos experience of that dream, wow, I mean, you did this and then you did that, and then you flew to the moon, and then you had a kid, and then you got married, and then you drove to Paris. So it's a bending, like non-real or surreal amount of time. And that's kind of how I'm interpreting your example of what you just said of meeting these nomads, because I think that you and they are sort of living not all the time, but you met them in Kairos time. And so you are connected, dare I say, at like a higher level or a higher frequency, right? And you're connecting at a higher level that just doesn't exist in normal, regular, everyday life, because that's Chronos time. And this is Kairos that lives up here. And I'm not saying one is better or worse. They're both necessary. Well, actually, they're not. I guess you don't need Kairos, but you need Chronos. Anyway, that's my thought on that making this little deep, because you said deeper, and I got immediately to like higher level frequency.
Well, I think it also reminds me of, well, we're constantly by the sea, so it reminds me of the rise and fall of the waves and the ebb and flow of the tide. And so it is very much like that, this way of traveling. And even when you meet friends or make those connections, you can tell when it's going like this, and then you can also tell when there's, like, you, I think you it's beneficial if you can have both to realize where you fit in the world. But since you're speaking about Greek words, I just want to say my Albanian is not as much. We're working on it. We're working on our Shqiptar. This phrase, though, that there's a phrase that they have here, and it's, I had to look it up because I couldn't remember the first word, but it's ndoshta po and ndoshta yo. And it means maybe yes, maybe no. We'll kind of see how it goes. Ndoshta, and it's in ndoshta po, ndoshta yo. And it's like, maybe yes, maybe no. Okay, so I guess we'll just figure it out. Yeah, it's not my decision. Maybe it's your decision. We'll figure it out.
Well, I think that is a lovely note to end on here.
Yeah.
Because that is just, it's just perfect. I mean, because I think some like traditional, more structured people are going to think like, well, wait a minute, we haven't talked about visas and, how does it work with bank transfers,
Because
right?
that's really important.
It is super important. We can talk about that another time. I think talking about this deeper relationship you have with in Kairos time, where you meet these other nomads and you meet in somebody in Bulgaria and you go on a cruise 6 months later. Oh, like, wow, what?
I know
No,
our
it's
lives
just.
would not, I mean, they would be in a different way, but we wouldn't have been able to experience life in this way if we hadn't said yes.
Okay, how? This has been just a joy and a delight and just a pleasure to talk with you about this. It's just
I
been,
love our chats, Bradley.
but this is, I hope that we inspire some people. I often talk about how a lot of people are not going to take action. That's totally fine. But for those who need a little push or a pull or, some of Kay Howe's words here, you've said a few things I am going to highlight and like pull out as just awesome quotes. And so I think you've been super just inspirational for those out there who are thinking of taking action or want that change in your life and just don't know how to make it. And I think Kay Howe here seems to have some of the answers. So,
A little bit. Ndoshta po, ndoshta yo.
there you have it. You've heard it. Official. The current philosophy on life. There it is.
I'm practicing.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for your time. This has been great.
Thank you so much, Bradley.
Bye for now.
Bye.